I was going on a very, very terrible downhill path. And so, I was just partying a lot and just trying to hang on to that skateboard, whatever that 36th of whatever age dream is, where you're not skating, but you're like every skate event and you always got the newest diamond stuff on every, I don't know. It's a very weird era for skateboarders. And I was very close to being in that era. Like, And just decided one day, I was like, dude, I can't, like, I'm draining myself. I'm just going to end up like one of those skaters, you know, and you know exactly what I'm saying, man. Just one of them dudes that's fucking up, you know, never got out of the clubs, can still party and drunk all the time. I was like, I just can't be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I just refuse to. So I kind of went home and I learned the hard way that it's, transitioning over to the normal life or what I should have been doing the whole time. Very difficult. You know, it was very difficult being around 34, 35 and learning to write a resume and trying to get a job. And they're like, all right, what did you work at? And I'm like, well, we're at a skate shop and I worked at Big Brother.
But you know what though, man, the skateboard industry doesn't really do a good job at all of providing an exit plan for skaters. You know?
No.
It doesn't do anything. It just uses you up and spits you out, and where you land is where you make a choice to, you know?
Like, oh, they got an exit plan for you. You can hang out in the warehouse and pack some boxes.
Man, there's just not a good exit plan. And honestly, once I pulled myself away from the industry, first of all, I started having more fun skating, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually pulled myself completely out and it crept back into me on its own, you know, like around the early 2000s, like I was happy. I'm just skating for fun, not doing nothing. And around the early 2000s, when Santa Cruz approached me again and they're like, hey, we want to do this. I said, okay. But I'm gonna set what I want to do now. Like I'm running this ship for me now, not for you guys telling me what to do. You know, and it totally changed the way, like I viewed it. Because dude, I was the same way. I was like, I was done with the industry. I was done with everything.
Dude, it's like a weird abusive relationship,
right?
You know, like it's such like, and it's weird because my mother was in an abusive relationship, but I saw her walk away. So I know what it takes for like the strength to like just walk away from something. You know, and some people just don't have it in them. You know, it's like some people don't have it in them to walk away when it's like you're trying to trick forever and you just see people have a complete mental breakdown.
The thing is too, like, you know, like a lot of guys from skateboarding backgrounds are from broken homes and don't have a fallback plan, don't have anybody behind them, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like you get stuck in this thing. You're like, well, fuck, I dropped out of high school when I was a sophomore. I don't have any real life skills, you know, you got to figure out a way yourself, you know? So a lot of skaters either end up in jail or dead or just like broke as fuck and never have a way out, you know?
Because they're hanging on to that weird, you know, and it's a very, I don't know what that's called, man, but it's very weird. It's very dangerous. And it's kind of sad, you know, it's like, it's really because from the era that we came from, you know, and this is after your era, you know, like I was a mid-90s guy. So the era we came from, we really didn't have a fallback plan because, you know, a lot of us guys were like kind of almost, you know, if you look back, man, a lot of guys were like just kind of used as pawns in the game.
Oh, and without a doubt.
They didn't have anything for these guys. You know, they were just like, okay, well, we got these new guys and this should piss off all the old guys, you know, and it's like, and they knew that they could sell you. It was like a fad, you know. It's really kind of sad to look back on. But then a lot of times you have to think, man, it's like from the era we came from, like a lot of people thought it was cool to be stupid, you know, and like, luckily, you know, the guys from like, I think there's a huge, huge difference between your era and like my era, you know, it's not that far apart, but
no.
The difference in your era and our era is a simple thing. People knew how to build a fucking ramp, number one.
Right.
You know, it's not like people knew simple things like, you know, because it wasn't cool to be stupid. You know, it was cool to be punk rock, but it wasn't cool to be stupid.
It's WCRP.
That line got blurred after a while. You know, it just got cool to be like kind of stupid, you know, and like a lot of stuff that people were throwing like in ads and graphics and people weren't getting. Cause I'm like, cause you guys are fucking stupid. You don't read, know anything. And you think it's cool to just smoke weed all day. And and it's not cool to like, man, I'd be on tour with people, man. And like, they just fucking sit around the hotels and drink and party and smoke. And I'm like, dude, you don't want to walk. And I'm like, you don't want to like learn a little bit about the city, like get a little culture, like go eat somewhere or something. Like, you don't want to like, dude, and like no one would fucking walk. It's weird.
Dude, like you're like literally like preaching. Like I would go somewhere like on tour and I'd be like, after we were done skating for the day, I'd fucking leave and start walking by myself and just get fucking lost. Cause I wanted, like I said, I wanted to fucking see shit. Whether it was a museum or go eat somewhere or just like immerse myself in the culture. When else am I going to get to do this, especially on somebody else's dime, you know?
Exactly. Like, exactly. You're getting paid. And like, I'd be like, dude, I remember the first time I got per diem. I was like, holy shit.
Right?
I was like, hold on. We get a hotel and we get money? I was like, dude, right. And everyone was like, yeah, man, we get money every day. I was like, holy shit, we do? Like,
yeah.
And I was like, dude, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to walk around the city and go check everything out. And, you know, like, it was my city. Like, I'd love to. And, like, of course, I'd go out and hang out with people and drink and that, you know, but I would also, like, I would literally immerse myself in the city as much as possible. You know, so if we were going out and hanging out, that was one thing, but I'd be the first guy up in the morning, walking around the city 2 or 3 hours. We were in the middle of nowhere. I'd be walking somewhere to find something to eat or taking pictures and, you know, like that kind of shit, and it matters.
I think somewhere along the line, something got lost in skateboarders. Because like I said, skateboarders used to be like artistic and free thinkers and, you know, weren't just like these robots, you know. And somewhere in the early to mid 90s, like something changed where it's like this big party atmosphere got brought on. If you think about just like all the rad skaters that were like artistic or just like free thinkers, like Ed Templeton or Mike Vallely and these kind of guys, you know, there's like, or guys had a cause behind them that wasn't just like, oh, I need a Red Bull sponsor and need to make a bunch of money, you know?
It's WCRP.
Like, guys, like had social causes, like there was just different things behind it. Every skater had an image that wasn't just like, oh, I'm partying and I'm a rock star, you know, like I can, like I said, you know, Ed was an artist. Mike was like this, you know, like rogue skater, you know, guys like Ron Allen had social causes, you know, like there was, everybody was different, you know, and had their own thing, but yet everybody got along, you know?
And it was cool. What I thought was really cool too back then is, you know, to add on to what you're saying, everyone, it wasn't about where you were from a lot of people. And I used to bust people's balls about this. A lot of people got on from being geographically located.
Right. And, no, I agree. 100%.
You know what I mean? So it was like, there wasn't guys like, it was very like, because you still see guys like that come from areas like yourself, you know, like you still see guys from SACTO and you're like, right. What? Fuck, did this guy come from? You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, because he's not from SF per se. You know,
right.
And so for a long time, it became to where it was like, you could be just some dude from fucking Ohio, for Christ's sake. You move to SF, you're on. Because that place to be. And it wasn't about if you were a good skater or you had something behind you. You know, those guys were kind of pushed to the back. You know, like the guys that were the free thinkers, you know, the guys that actually had something to offer besides a skateboard trick or what city they were in. Those guys really got phased out, really. And it was so weird to watch that, you know.
Right. Strange, because, like, I think about it like this. Like, you got guys like Mark Gonzalez. Like, he's still relevant today, you know. He's so relevant in the industry. And like the video part he made from the first blind video, you could watch that today and it could be a video part today. It's that relevant, you know, like the stuff he did. And I just don't know, is there skaters? I mean, there's so many skaters now, it's hard to keep track, but who's the next Gonz? Is there one? I don't know if there can be, because like I said, Gonz is an artist, Gonz is a skater, Gonz is a free thinker. Like, that kind of mentality doesn't exist anymore.
It's WCRP.
You see some newer guys, like there's a guy, I believe John Gardner, skates for, I think he skates for Santa Cruz. No, he skates for OJ, maybe.
Okay.
Skates for Creature and OJ. Really?
Right.
Really awesome dude. Really, and I like, because he's like, he's an artist, he's a free thinker, and you can tell by the way he doesn't skate normal shit. And he's
right.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, that dude's going to go far. Like,
right.
Because stands out and he doesn't try to stand out.
Dude, the guys are so good now. It's like fucking mind blowing to watch, like, these guys, the rail tricks they do, the combo. I mean, oh, man, I just saw the most ridiculous little Japanese kid. I just saw a clip of him today on the barracks doing a backside 360 ollie kick flip to 360 out off the rail. I'm like, dude, this is like video game stuff. But it's like, you know, like 20 years from now, is he still going to be relevant? Will even know his name? I guarantee 20 years from now, people will know who Mark Gonzalez is, you know?
I always keep this is, humble yourself, because if you start at the top, you have nowhere to go but down. There's no other way. So if you start off, you're some skater, you're doing the 360 flip, what are you going to do 5 years from now? It's almost with Nyjah, man. It's like people are so prone to see him do something so good that the value of his tricks, even if he does something gnarly now, it's like, well, you kind of expect that.
Right.
That sucks for him. You know,
and he's put so much pressure on himself, too. Like, dude, everyone's like, okay, first Olympics, definitely Nyjah's getting a gold, you know? Like, without a question, people would just assume that, you know? And didn't happen. No, I mean, that's just a lot of pressure to put on yourself, too, you know?
I mean, man, I don't know if you saw the letter. He wrote some, he did an IG post, but like a day or two, like he was really silent on IG. And, you know, you could kind of tell, you know, as
right.
much. But, dude, there was a lot of I know this. I literally know this, and I feel confident saying this. There's a lot of money going to be going into skateboarding post the Olympics. Like,
For sure. That was the plan, you know?
More money than I think every skater probably ever seen, and you're about to see it everywhere, all over, you know, like. You could tell, like, say, for instance, when Tony Hawk went on a crazy tour right after the Olympics, it's like,
right.
Why is Tony Hawk doing a circus tour? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
How many more fucking Tony Hawk tours can we see?
It's WCRP.
But also, on the flip side of it, I thought it was very funny how a medal did come back to America and no one gave a shit.
right.
That's not
funny. I mean, anybody else wins a bronze or whatever, you know, like, people are happy, you know?
Yes,
but
yes. No one gave a shit. I'm like, dude, I don't know if anyone's paying attention, but this guy won a fucking bronze medal in the fucking Olympics. The first Olympic skateboarding, and you guys are acting like, nothing fucking happened. And that's crazier than Nyjah not winning.
I think, too, that just, like, Americans expect, especially in a sport we basically invented, we just expect to be the best. So we expect to win, you know, when it was the NBA, you know, first time that they used NBA players, of course, yeah, we just destroyed guys, you know. But as the world catches up, we still have those same expectations, like the rest of the world hasn't caught up. Well, the rest of the world has been caught up in skateboarding for a long time, if not better. I think people just assume because, oh, it's Nyjah, he's got big sponsors, he's, you know, and killed it everywhere else. But it's like, dude, the rest of the world is just as good in skateboarding, if not better, you know?
Exactly. And realistically, I think it was, you know, not even with Nyjah, but, you know, it's great that he has healthy competition.
Right. No, great. Exactly.
I, people, I don't think people were ready for that sort of healthy competition. You know, they were like, man, someone's got to come out and beat Nyjah. And then Yuto came out, and they were like, whoa.
Right.
We didn't say like this. And it's
right.
Like, dude, you got to make your mind up. You know what I mean? Like, who do you want to beat Nyjah? Just say exactly who it is, what you want them to look like, and all that.
It's, I mean, like, people like to see people dominate in a sport up until a certain point. You know, then it gets boring. Like, when Tony was winning everything he had his rivalry with Christian, it was actually sort of boring because the guys weren't there yet. And then once Christian sort of caught up, it was like, oh, wow, you got this rivalry now. You know, and it's happened in a lot of other sports. You know, Tiger Woods was just, like, destroying everybody because it was just a bunch of fat, non-athletic guys. And then Tiger comes in and just is an athlete and destroys guys. But eventually people caught up to him. You know, they started realizing, oh, wow, you have to train like an athlete to freaking golf now, you know. And I see from just another perspective, too, just because of my jiu-jitsu. So I deal with guys from all over the world, from different backgrounds, but I deal with obviously a lot of Brazilians. And the hunger, okay, a Brazilian skater, okay, if he don't make it here, he ain't got shit to fall back on, you know. These guys, most of them, you know, that come from poor families, dude, you don't make it in skating, that's your chance. Whereas Americans now, you know, there's most of them now don't come from like the same places that we came from, because skateboarding is a lot more popular and accepted now. You know, they're coming from backgrounds where, okay, you don't make it in skating, you can go to college or get a job or do whatever. Where, man, these Brazilians got a freaking hunger inside of them that, you know, it's just a different mentality they're seeing these things with, you know.
I think the problem is and to add on to what you're saying, I believe the problem is people aren't very hungry because mediocrity is celebrated a lot.
Dude, oh my gosh, I get grilled for saying this sometimes.
It's
crazy.
It is celebrated. It's celebrated so much, and also people are, you know, Americans per se are a lot of Americans. We're used to being rewarded for bad work or okay
right.
work or okay behavior. You know, it's like we tell people they can be anything they want to be, and then when they fail at it, we act like it's nothing. Oh, it's okay. Unless other people are like, they take more initiative and direction when they're aiming for something. You know, like, it's like, do we want to hit the bullseye? And if we know we don't hit the bullseye, we're still going to get patted on the back. You know, well, that's a Brazilian counterpart. It's like, I'm hitting the fucking bullseye. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hitting the bullseye like my fucking life depends on it. And everyone here is like, well, my life don't depend on it because I always got something else I can fall back on.
Exactly.
I tell you not the one.